Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Product Sourcing and eBiz Show, brought to you by WorldwideBrands.com.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Colette Marshall. You know, for online sellers, negotiating with wholesalers is an intimidating thought, but it's an important part of product sourcing, and we're going to give you some pointers today to make it a lot easier. We have with us Skip McGrath, a veteran power seller and publisher of the eBay Sellers News. Skip knows from firsthand experience what's involved in negotiating with suppliers, and he's going to share with us today what you can do to get the best possible deals for your own eBiz, all based on his own experience. Skip, welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome, Colette. It's good to talk to you again.
Now, Skip, do you have any tips that you'd like to add about negotiating with suppliers?
Well, the main thing I like to do is try and build a relationship with my suppliers. And, you know, that can be a hard thing to do in the online world sometimes because, you know, you're communicating with email and over the web. So I make it a point to call my suppliers, talk to them on the phone, try and just establish that there's another human being on the end of this thing, transaction. Or, you know, if they're nearby, I'll go visit them. If they exhibit at trade shows, I might go to the trade show and meet them there. But I find that developing that personal relationship is really the first key, because what is negotiating? It's really asking for things. So when you're asking for things, aren't you more willing to give something to a friend than a stranger?
Definitely. A lot easier to ask a friend.
It's all about mainly communication, and the more you can do, you know, obviously in person is best. If you can't do that, the telephone is probably next best. You know, if you just try and have a relationship by email, you're just another email that these people are getting.
And they get just as much email as we do as well. You know, many sellers that I've spoken to think that wholesalers don't have to deal with customer service. Well, they do have to deal with customer service of their retailers. Now, they're getting lots of email coming in. They have the same types of email issues that we all do. It's just from a different source that they're getting those emails. I couldn't agree with you more. Establishing that communication and building that communication and that relationship with your supplier rep is very key, because they understand the products. They know what they can help you with, and they can, as they learn your business, they can help you kind of build your business in many ways, especially when they get new products in.
And it's really important, too. I'll give you an example. Right before Christmas, I screwed up and miscounted my inventory, and I sold a set of chef's knives that I didn't have in stock. And, you know, as soon as I noticed it, I called my supplier, and this is someone I've been doing business with for a year and a half. We have a good relationship. And, you know, I said, John, can you ship one set of knives directly to this customer for me and get it out today? And, you know, normally they sell by the case, right? And I said, I'll be placing an order for a case as soon as we finish this conversation. He agreed to do that. I mean, he shipped the knives directly out for me just as a favor, and then he shipped me the case of 11 instead of a case of 12, and he got the case order out the same day as well, so I had it in about 3 days. And I'm not sure, you know, he would have done that if I hadn't had that long-term relationship. I mean, we've met in person at a trade show. You know, we talk on the phone all the time. The other thing I do at Christmas time, you know, I send my suppliers a little something. I mean, a little card, or if they're an important supplier, I might send them a little gift basket or something like that. And those things really, really matter when something happens to you, like I just described.
What about when you're first starting an account? You're just starting up that relationship with the supplier. What would be some things that you would recommend to start that building of that relationship?
Be a good customer. I mean, you are the customer, you know, and like in any relationship, there's a supplier and a customer. But for the wholesale business, can be a little technical. And, you know, you want to use a purchase order. Take the time to fill your purchase orders out correctly and completely so that the supplier isn't having to jump through hoops, you know, to serve you. I wouldn't be asking for special discounts and stuff right up front the first time, or try and be some hardball negotiator and try and get the best deal the very first time you order. I mean, that's part of building that relationship that I was talking about, which is you know, be a good customer. The other thing is payment. You know, be quick about paying. Now, a lot of these suppliers, the first time you deal with them, you're going to have to pay cash up front or give them a credit card. But for the ones that do give you credit, you know, pay on time. I mean, that's another big one. If you're seen as someone that pays your bills on time, then everybody wants to do business with you.
It goes all the way around. I mean, you want your customers to pay you right on
exactly.
Time, so they expect the same.
You know, that's a good point. It's just, think to yourself of all the difficult customers that you've handled in your business, you know, the emails or calls that you've gotten or complaints that people have had that maybe are not quite, you know, reasonable or people just being difficult. You don't want to be that way to your suppliers. So that's the point. Be a good customer.
Now, how do you handle those companies you run into that won't work with eBay sellers or small website owners? I know you do a lot of your own product sourcing. I'm sure you run across many times those suppliers who won't work with eBay sellers.
That happens to me all the time, and it happens to my readers. I get emails from people all the time saying, Skip, I'm looking for the wholesale source for XYZ, and I found these three companies, and none of them will sell to me because I sell on eBay. Look at it from the supplier's point of view. First of all, these types of suppliers that don't want to sell on eBay tend to be your very niche specialty product suppliers. You know, a lot of them are very small companies. They might only have two, three, four employees themselves. They're selling a specialty product. Their big market is the retail stores. They don't want their product on eBay being deeply discounted because if they're trying to sell to retailers and the retailers see that this whatever, you know, let's take, you know, the spa products are really popular right now. You know, maybe you're selling a line of aromatherapy candles and the retail stores don't want to see those products selling on eBay for 20 or 30% less than they have them in the store. So what my technique is, again, I think we're going to talk about jargon a little later, but I'm going to introduce you to the first term. It's called the MAP, M-A-P.
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome.
The minimum advertised price. I go to the suppliers. I tell them, you don't want to see your product discounted. I'll agree to sell at the MAP price. So if you'll supply me, I'll only put it on eBay at the MAP price. Now, that actually is a really good deal for me, too, because that means that other eBay sellers aren't getting the same product and discounting it. The other thing that happens, and this has happened twice to me in the last year, I've ended up with the exclusive deal. Guy says, okay, let's try it. We try it. I place a few orders. I'm getting reorders. He sees it. I'm selling at the MAP. And he just says, look, I'm only going to sell to you. Other people contact him, and he says, no, I've given the exclusive for this product on eBay. So I have two products I sell that I have the exclusive. Just because I built that relationship, I honor their request to sell at the MAP price.
A lot of manufacturers will have that setting. You know, there's other reasons why you also can't sell on eBay. Certain manufacturers want to control where those products are sold, like in certain retail areas. There's many reasons as to why. So just talk, build that relationship, ask questions. Is there a particular reason? Is there another way that we can go about there? You may be able to build that relationship and communicating with them and find that eventually they do open those doors to selling it online.
There will be some companies that won't do it. I mean, I've had some where I've just beat my head against the wall for a long time and they just won't agree. And, you know, you just go on to the next company. I mean, I've gone to trade shows and walked around and talked to companies and maybe a third of them or half of them say we won't sell on eBay, but I walk down the aisle and there's another company that will.
Amazing. What about some jargon and terms that we need to know that's very important for sellers to make sure that they're aware of when they're talking to suppliers?
A lot of the jargon is just abbreviations. Now, you know, for instance, we talked about MAP for the minimum advertised price or manufacturer's advertised price. MSRP, you know, that's the manufacturer's suggested retail price. Let's talk about that a second because I think a lot of people don't understand this, but there's a law in the United States that says that a manufacturer cannot force a buyer to sell at a certain price. In other words, a manufacturer cannot say, you know, you must sell this at the MSRP. There's fair trade laws against that. But that's why they have the MAP. The manufacturer is allowed to say you can only advertise it at this price. And, of course, if you start, you know, you might sell it for less than the manufacturer finds out. They can always not sell to you again, but what they're really concerned about is the prices that you're putting out there for people to see. That's the reason for the MAP. Another term is keystone. Keystone is a term that means you can just double the price of something when you're going to sell it. You know, you might be at a trade show and you're walking around, you see a product, you see the wholesale price that they're offering it for, and you're not familiar with that product, you know, and you asked, is this a product that I can keystone? And the manufacturer knows what retailers are selling them for. He might say, yes, you can keystone it, or a lot of my sellers are doing keystone plus 10 or 20. That means 10 or 20% higher than doubling the price. So that's a term you'll run into frequently. Another one is MOO. It's M-O-O, and that stands for minimum opening order. You might get a quote that the MOO is $250. That means that when you open the account for the first time buyer, you have to purchase $250 worth of merchandise. The other term you'll see is the RO, which is RO, and that's the reorder. So you might see someone that says, you know, MOO is $250, RO is $200, or RO is $150. So they're saying your opening order must be $250, your repeat orders or reorders minimum $150. You know, if it had an RO of 150. You see PO a lot. That's just purchase order. And that's something, by the way, that manufacturers really insist on nowadays, is that they get a purchase order from you. And you can get purchase orders online. You know, you can go online, and there's these companies that sell forms, and you download it as a Word document, and then you personalize it. You know, you put in the name of your company and your address and your contact information, and you have a form that you can email to a person or fax, print out and fax to them. You know, physical forms, you can get them at Office Depot, Staples, the big office supply stores. They have packs of forms that, and I have some of those too, because when I go to a trade show or if I go down to the Seattle Merchandise Mart, I take a bunch of purchase order forms, the actual forms, with me so I can fill them out on the spot. It's not just the jargon, it's also some of the paperwork. Another one you'll get is pro forma invoice. When you're doing a large or a complex purchase of some kind, you ask the manufacturer for a pro forma invoice. Basically, it's not an invoice, it's a quote, but the quote looks like an invoice so that you can see all the terms. You know, an invoice will also have credit terms on it.
These are terms we're always talking to our customers about to get familiar with, and especially learn them and memorize them before you pick up the phone and actually speak with the customer rep. Because if you call the customer rep and you obviously don't know what you're dealing with, kind of doesn't get the right impression. Let's talk about credit terms. Can you explain how they work and what the benefits are to resellers?
In terms of getting credit, when you're new and you're starting out and you're dealing with suppliers for the first time, a lot of suppliers will ask you for, you know, payment up front for your first order. Other suppliers, though, really prefer to deal on credit. I mean, they're set up to do it that way, and they're not set up to take credit cards, so they want you to submit, you know, credit application and credit references. Different suppliers have different terms. A lot of times the suppliers don't put the terms out there for you at first. You have to kind of earn them by being a customer and placing a few orders, and then they'll extend credit terms to you. There's two aspects of the credit term. One is a discount, and the other is the time that you're given to pay. A lot of times when you get a quote from a supplier, you'll see something at the bottom of the invoice that'll say 3 net, 230, 160. Net is immediate payment. If you pay immediately, you get a 3% discount. 230 means that if you pay your bill within 30 days, you get a 2% discount. Then the 160 means if you take 60 days to pay your bill, you're only going to get a 1% discount. That's an example of credit terms. The other credit term is extending the time to pay. Some suppliers say everything is net 30. You must pay your bill within 30 days. Other suppliers will give you 45 days or 60 days. I've even seen suppliers offering terms out to 90 days. I always like to pay up front and get those discounts. That's another thing. If the seller isn't offering the credit terms, what I'll do is maybe the first two or three orders I'll pay net. I go back to the supplier and say, I've been dealing with you for the last 4 months now, I'm placing orders every 30 days and paying net. Is there any chance of extending me some credit terms or a discount for paying net? Well, they know you're a good customer, and a lot of times they'll do that.
How can you prepare yourself? What are the kinds of facts you should present to suppliers when you're wanting to ask and negotiate for better terms of pricing?
Let's kind of break that down into two parts, because one situation is you're approaching a supplier for the first time, and the other situation is when you've been doing business with a supplier for a while. So if you're approaching a supplier for the first time, what you want to do is tell them something about your business. I mean, if you have a website, if you sell on eBay and you have an eBay store and some auctions listed, you know, be prepared to give them the URL of your business. You know, tell them how long you've been in business, what you do, what you specialize in, what your annual sales are. And, you know, don't be afraid if you're just small starting out to tell the truth. And, you know, I mean, the reality is when you're small and you're starting out, there are a few companies that aren't going to do business with you. So you just have to go on to the next company. But you will find companies that will do business with you. And they're happy to get, you know, new suppliers. Mainly they're going to judge you when you're new starting out and you don't have a lot of these resources and business history and things. They're going to judge you on how you communicate with them. If you communicate with them, you know, the more professional you sound, the more confidence they're going to have. Now, in the situation where you've been doing business with a supplier, you know, I keep records of what I've purchased from a supplier. And, you know, I remind the supplier, politely, but I remind the supplier that, you know, Colette, we've been doing business for about a year now. During the year, I've placed, you know, 8 orders totaling $6,000. And I've been a steady customer, and I was wondering if you might give me a little better credit terms, or, you know, could we look at the pricing of these, and could you start considering, I know that I order in small quantities, but could you start, you know, looking at my annual quantity and give me a price based on that? Those are the kind of things you want to do. But, it, you know, preparation, your question was how do you prepare yourself? It's, you know, facts, knowledge, background, history, how you present yourself, all of those things kind of go into that.
Definitely. Now, would you even say the same thing with another supplier? Like maybe you're wanting to start up with a new supplier, you've been in business quite a while, but you've used other suppliers. Can you use that history of the other suppliers to kind of...
Yes, you know, very, very much so. I mean, one of the things I do, whenever I approach a new company for the first time, I send them, you know, let's say I send them an email asking for a quote. In my email, I put my business name. You know, in my case, I'm incorporated, and I have a couple DBAs. So I put the name of my corporation, the DBA. I put my 9-1 federal tax ID number, my Washington State resale license, you know, sales tax number. I list my bank, and I list three credit references, which are other suppliers that I've done business with. And by putting that information out there, they see that, okay, this guy's a real business person. He's been in business a while, and, you know, I can take him seriously. So that's part of the preparation, too, is your history of other suppliers. Now, I don't tell them how much business I've done with those suppliers or the details, but I just put the names there.
You know, we work very hard to build those relationships with the suppliers, and you don't want to do anything that's going to hinder that relationship. What would you say, from a business point of view, when would you start negotiations? You know, would it be after you've done those first few sales, or should you wait a few months? Does it really just depend on the supplier?
Well, it really does. It depends on the supplier, the nature of the goods, how competitive the goods are. I mean, if you're buying a product that's sold by a number of different suppliers, you know, those guys are all competing with each other. And that puts you in the best situation because they all want their piece of the pie, their share of the market. And oftentimes you can negotiate terms or prices right up front. I generally, though, you know, when I'm buying from a supplier, I look for is reliable suppliers that I'm going to want to do business with. And a lot of times, you know, deep discounters, price cutters, I don't consider those as big reliable suppliers. I mean, like the example is the liquidation companies. I mean, the liquidation business is a very cutthroat, highly competitive business. I just try and get, I might not ever do business with that person again. I just try and get the best price I can for whatever product, you know, they're offering. And I get it, and then, you know, when I get the product, I go through it and make sure that I really got what they offered, that the quality was there, that the goods were described accurately, that sort of thing. There are a couple liquidation companies out there that are pretty good, and they're just really good about that sort of thing. And those, you know, I might go back to and try and build a relationship with. But again, for the average eBay or small website seller, you know, you're buying from small to medium-sized manufacturers, or you're buying from regional distributors, and these are people that you want to take the time to build that relationship with. And I wouldn't necessarily go in the first day asking for a price discount. I might just place the order. I mean, if the prices are such that I can make money on them now, I'm going to place the order, test the market, try and sell the product. I'm going to assess the distributor on their communications, their shipping, their packaging, you know, how well they did everything. And then if that looks like a manufacturer I want to, or a distributor I want to build a relationship with, you know, I'll start on that. Start by building the relationship first, and then little by little start asking for better terms as I do more business with them.
That is our time for today with Skip McGrath. You can learn more about all the things that he has to say and offer at skipmcgrath.com. Skip, thanks so much for being here.
It's been fun as always.
As always, I'm Colette Marshall.
Today's Entrepreneur Product Sourcing and eBiz show has been brought to you by WorldwideBrands.com and Entrepreneur.com. Join us again next week for more free eBiz education with the Internet's leading product sourcing experts.